Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Buenos días, señoras y señores.
I am here on the occasion of the negotiations between the European Union and Mercosur, negotiations that were relaunched in last May, and we are now negotiating at a very steady pace this agreement. The next round of negotiations will be in March in Brussels and again in May in Asunción. Uruguay having the presidency of Mercosur during the second half of this year. This was, I think, the right time to come to your country. The more so, and that's, I would even say, the main reason that we did this precisely now is that we are of the opinion that when there comes an agreement between the European Union and Mercosur, it's not only an agreement with the bigger brothers, but also with a somewhat smaller country. So I thought it fortunate to come to Monday. I was in Paraguay, and yesterday and today in your country. We have had very interesting discussions with the government, with the Minister of Foreign Affairs, of Economy and Agriculture, with the Vice President, and we're just coming back from a meeting with the President of Uruguay. We met the European business in Uruguay, and we also met the Uruguayan business people, so we try to have as broad a picture as possible of what is happening and what are the possibilities. I believe very staunchly that we will be in a position to come to an agreement. It won't be easy, obviously not, but I believe that the momentum is much more fortunate than it was some years ago for economic reasons and also for political reasons. It's very important that our two continents, that European Union and Latin America, work much more closely together and give fertile ground for such a cooperation. An agreement between the European Union and Mercosur is very important. I'm open to your questions if you were to have any.
Bien, gracias por estar presentes. Estamos aquí en virtud de las negociaciones de un acuerdo, las negociaciones que han sido relanzadas en mayo del año pasado entre la Unión Europea y el Mercosur, y estamos negociando a un paso seguro y firme. Nuestras próximas negociaciones van a tener lugar en marzo en Bruselas y en mayo en Asunción. Durante la segunda mitad del año, en el segundo semestre, el Uruguay va a tener la presidencia pro tempore del Uruguay. Ahí también será ocasión para continuar las negociaciones. Creemos que este es el momento adecuado, entonces, para estar aquí en el país. La principal razón, en realidad, por la que estamos aquí es porque creemos que un acuerdo de este tipo no debe ser solamente con los países grandes del Mercosur, sino también con los países pequeños, y es por eso que estuvimos en Asunción en días pasados y ayer y hoy en Uruguay. Hemos tenido en el Uruguay conversaciones muy interesantes con diferentes ministros, el ministro de Relaciones Exteriores, el ministro de Agricultura, el vicepresidente de la República, y ahora venimos de una reunión con el presidente. Y también tuvimos reuniones con empresarios uruguayos que representan a empresas europeas, y también con las cámaras de industria y de comercio europeas aquí en el Uruguay, de modo que creo firmemente que estamos en posición de poder llegar a un acuerdo que obviamente no va a ser fácil, pero creemos que estamos en el momento adecuado, es un momento conveniente, no solamente desde el punto de vista económico, sino también desde el punto de vista político. Es una buena ocasión, es un buen momento para trabajar juntos. Creemos en que la cooperación nos va a ayudar a poder llegar a un acuerdo que va a ser muy importante para ambos lados.
Why was it that the time of the meeting took so long? Why did you meet for such a long time with the president?
Probably. basically because the president had decided for himself that we should have a longer discussion. So the president took his time, and I'm very pleased that he did, because we had a very interesting discussion on Mercosur, but also on the broader geopolitical context of economic relations and what is happening in the world. So we had a very interesting discussion. I'm very pleased that it took so long.
Bueno, posiblemente sea porque el presidente decidió por sí mismo tener una larga conversación con nosotros. Tuvimos una discusión muy interesante, no solamente sobre el Mercosur, sino sobre problemas, sobre temas geopolíticos. Y yo me siento muy complacido de haber tenido una reunión larga con el presidente.
This was not simply a courtesy call, but we discussed in depth several subjects, and so I can only add that this was a very constructive discussion.
Bueno, esto no se trató solamente de una visita de cortesía, sino que se discutieron en profundidad varios temas y tuvimos una discusión muy interesante sobre determinados temas.
Sí, Marisa Torres de Prensa, el presidente de la República.
She comes from the presidency, press presidency.
El comisario decía que el acuerdo no iba a ser fácil, pero que el momento político ayudaba.
But that the political time was good.
That's two questions.
Why do you think it's not going to be easy?
And why do you think that the political environment is going to collaborate to reach an agreement in that situation?
But it's not going to be easy because obviously your region has important offensive interests in agriculture, and agriculture, as always, and in every place on this planet, is a very sensitive topic. So, on the other hand, I believe that there is a lot of room for cooperation in industrial products, in services. So, when I said it's not going to be easy, I didn't mean that we are not eager to do it. But I think if you are really eager to do something, you really want to reach something, then you should also realize what are the difficulties in reaching it, so that you can, calibrate your strategy on that. Why this more? Why the political environment is good? I believe because there is a growing belief in as well Europe as in Latin America, that we should come more closely together. That that much is changing on the world scene, that it's very important that the democratic countries of the world aim at more cooperation. I'm not among those who are afraid of China, but you cannot look aside of them either. I mean, they are developing a global political and economic power in a very short period of time, and this is unprecedented in human history. You know, this is completely unprecedented. It is a dramatic evolution that we are going through, and so this is not meant to be a defensive move, but I think that we will be stronger together. I mean, if we were able to make this agreement, we would create a market of 700 million consumers. 700 million consumers, which are high-end and middle income. So this would, by and large, be the biggest purchasing power in the world. So this is not about it's a big deal. I mean, if we are in a position to do this, and so we are ready to invest a lot of time in this to reach it, but we also realize that sometimes it will be difficult, and that we will have to overcome together these difficulties.
Bien. Creemos que el momento político al que usted se refería es bueno porque hay una creencia creciente en Europa y en Latinoamérica de que debemos aproximarnos y trabajar juntos en este mundo que está en permanente cambio. y creemos que los países democráticos del mundo deben apuntar a la cooperación. Yo no le tengo miedo a China, porque China ha construido una economía muy fuerte, se ha convertido en una potencia económica, ha tenido una evolución sin precedentes en su historia, ha tenido una evolución muy drástica. Esto no quiere decir que no vayamos a tener un movimiento defensivo, sino que creemos que vamos a ser más fuertes si estamos juntos. Juntos podemos tener 700 millones de consumidores que van a estar en el extremo superior del consumo, o en el extremo medio del consumo, de modo que vamos a poder lograr tener en el mundo el mayor poder adquisitivo, teniendo a los dos bloques juntos. De modo que es un buen negocio si logramos hacerlo, y estamos invirtiendo mucho tiempo y mucho esfuerzo, a pesar de que sabemos que hay dificultades en esto.
Saúl Cortés, de la Agencia de
One of the largest concerns that we have when we talk about these negotiations and this agreement is the term. We've been negotiating this for a long time, and nothing concrete has come up until now. I think that last year we were closer, but again, we couldn't do it. You said
probablemente a finales del año 2010 iba a llegarse a un acuerdo.
We were going to reach
pero en Asunción hace dos días mencionó que ni siquiera en 2011 sería
not
posible.
Even in 2011 it would be
¿Qué
possible.
Opciones, qué expectativas hay de que
Mercosur
y la Unión Europea lleguen a un acuerdo sobre
agreement.
Un tema y sobre un tratado que está trabado claramente por el
agricultura. That has been blocked clearly by the agricultural issue.
We started the negotiations in 1996 and we negotiated till 2004. And then at Latin America European Union summit in Madrid in May, the negotiations were relaunched. Since then, we have had several rounds of negotiations. We will have another one in Brussels in March and then in Asunción in May. In June you have the Mercosur summit, and I trust that by then we will have made very considerable progress, and this summit could even give a further impetus to the negotiations. So we are working at a very steady pace. When exactly that the agreement will come about, I don't know, but the idea is certainly to do it within a brief period of time. I must say that up to now I'm pleased by the progress that we have been making. In March both parties will make their offers. I hope that these offers will be ambitious. And then, of course, on the basis of those offers, the negotiations will have to continue. So we are working at a pace which is, I would even say, a little bit uncommon in commercial negotiations. Normally, commercial negotiations take quite a lot of time. And the reason we can make the pace swifter is because of the negotiations that we have had before. I mean, that this is a discussion with the history, I would say. It's a negotiation with the history. But I'm very pleased with the pace at which we are negotiating, so I don't see the problem. Now, you mentioned that something I would have said in Asunción, that even this year we would not reach an agreement. Now, as far as I can remember, and also as far as my people can remember, I didn't say that. I mean, what I said is exactly what I'm saying now, that we are working, and that I hope that at the next Mercosur summit it will demonstrate that considerable progress has been made, and that from there on we go further. I mean, that's the planning, and nothing has changed to the planning, you know, nothing at all.
Bien, comenzamos las negociaciones en 1996 y se continuaron hasta el 2004. Las negociaciones se vieron detenidas. Después hubo una cumbre entre Latinoamérica y la Unión Europea en mayo en Madrid, donde se volvieron a lanzar las negociaciones. Vamos a tener negociación en marzo en Bruselas y otra en mayo en Asunción, y luego está la cumbre del Mercosur en junio. Para entonces esperamos haber podido tener un buen progreso. Estamos trabajando en eso, estamos haciendo nuestros mejores esfuerzos, estamos trabajando a un paso correcto. ¿Cuándo exactamente se va a lograr este acuerdo? Bueno, no, yo no puedo decírselo, pero creemos que el plazo va a ser breve. Yo estoy muy complacido con el progreso que estamos logrando. Ambas partes van a tener que presentar sus ofertas, que esperamos que sean ambiciosas, las que pongan sobre la mesa. Las negociaciones van a continuar. Insisto, el ritmo de las negociaciones es inusual para este tipo de negociaciones comerciales, que normalmente, habitualmente llevan tanto tiempo. Y la razón es que estas negociaciones tienen su historia. En Asunción, bueno, ni mi gente ni yo recordamos que yo haya dicho que no iba a haber un acuerdo, que no se iba a lograr un acuerdo en la próxima cumbre del Mercosur. Justamente vamos a ver que va a ser así, vamos a trabajar fuerte para que esto sea así.
Quizás para precisar, ¿no? Lo que dijo el comisario es que esperamos que en la cumbre del Mercosur en Asunción en junio se puede decir que hubo avances sustanciales en los negociados. Eso sí, que lo queremos poder decir. Para completar. Gracias.
Sí, la agencia alemana DPA.
From DPA, the German agency.
Como yo quiero preguntarle, si trajo alguna novedad.
Whether you have brought about any new thing about protectionism.
Europe
has applied to agriculture products. That has been the main obstacle. There's a strong resistance from producers of several countries, among which France, which don't accept to reduce their subsidies. Have you brought about any news? Do you think we're going to make progress about that?
Agriculture is sensitive in all corners of the world. You know, this is not something that is limited to the European Union, and psychologically this is understandable, because that's what mankind started to do first. You know, that was agriculture. So it's not uncommon, and it's not limited to one country. It's not limited to France. You see it surfacing in all member states. But there is also a growing awareness that we have to make progress in industrial production and in services. And then you have to balance both, you know. And of course that will take political resolve. But we have that political resolve to come to grips with those problems. It's also understandable that you have this reaction. Now you say that it has to do with subsidies. It doesn't have to do with subsidies, in fact. It's not a problem of subsidies, because the European Union has turned or changed all of its subsidies in a way that they are not distorting markets anymore. So it's not about subsidies. All of the subsidies in agriculture in Europe are now in what they call the green basket. And that's WTO jargon, which means that these are subsidies who are not linked to production and are not linked to export. You subsidy farmers on the basis of the number of hectares they work, and the number of cattle they have. I mean, I don't know all the specific regulations, but it doesn't have anything to see anymore with exports or with production, so it's not production linked anymore. So that has completely changed. The discussion between Latin America and Europe is about duty-free imports. That's what it is about. If you now export beef from Latin America to Europe, there are different quotas, but you have a tariff on that, and the real negotiation is that they would like to go the tariffs down, and that they would also like to have a larger quantity of duty-free exports. That's what the discussion about, not about subsidies. They, in fact, ask more market access, and that's what they are asking for. I'm not an agricultural specialist, but I think this is correct.
Bien, la agricultura es un tema sensible, siempre lo ha sido y lo es en todas partes del mundo, en todos los rincones del mundo, no solamente en la Unión Europea. Y hay un tema psicológico atrás de esto, una razón psicológica, y es porque la agricultura es la tarea a la que se ha dedicado el hombre desde su comienzo. Entonces, no es solamente en Francia, es algo distinto. Sí hay una sensibilización de que estamos progresando también en los productos industriales y en los servicios, y hay un impulso político para resolver este tema. Es entendible que usted piense y haya expresado esto en su pregunta. El tema de los subsidios, bueno, no es un problema de subsidios. La Unión Europea ha cambiado sus subsidios para no perturbar el mercado, y ahora en realidad de lo que estamos hablando es de la canasta verde. Este es un lenguaje, es una forma de expresión que tiene la OMC, forma parte de su vocabulario. Los subsidios no están vinculados a las exportaciones, ya, sino que tienen que ver con el número de...
Not to production, to exports or production.
O a las exportaciones o a la producción. No está vinculado a eso, sino, por ejemplo, al número de hectáreas que se tienen, o a la cantidad de cabezas de ganado, ¿no? Pero no está vinculado a las exportaciones o a la producción. Esto ha cambiado. La discusión entonces entre América Latina y Europa se basa en las exportaciones libres de impuestos, podríamos decir, duty free. Las diferentes cuotas, los diferentes aranceles para, por ejemplo, la carne bovina, esa es la discusión, tener un mayor acceso a los mercados. El comisario dice que no es especialista en temas agrícolas, pero que cree que eso es lo que es correcto.
The problem is that in Europe, with all the technology that we have, and we are doing a lot on breeding and so on, we cannot produce at the same price because we have much less room. I mean, the beef production in Latin America, it's an extensive agriculture. Not intensive, it's extensive agriculture. We cannot do that in Europe simply because we don't have the space to do that. Which means that automatically our production price is higher. So it's not a problem of subsidies. And when you have this disparity, then you understand that you have to strike a balance between more market access for agriculture and more market access for industrial products, and that's the difficulty in this. It's a balancing act, in fact, you know, because you cannot change the geographical and climatological circumstances in Europe. You cannot do that.
Bueno, en Europa tenemos mucha tecnología. Hay grandes avances en tecnología, pero no podemos producir al mismo precio que se produce acá, y esto se debe a que ustedes tienen una producción ganadera que se basa en una ganadería extensiva. Nosotros no podemos hacer eso en Europa porque no tenemos el espacio que tienen aquí en América Latina, de modo que al tener un espacio más reducido, obviamente los precios suben. Tiene que haber entonces un balance, un equilibrio entre los productos agrícolas y los productos industriales y los servicios.
Felipe Sandía, de Semanario Búsqueda.
Sí, Journal called Búsqueda.
El problema de hoy no es por parte de América Latina,
el problema es not a question of subsidies.
Sí hay problemas con los agricultores.
There are problems with the farmers, the European farmers,
who would be suffering
if there are more products, particularly raw materials and agricultural products, go into Europe. How would we solve the problem with farmers, with European farmers, who would be in trouble or who are more opposed to this?
Well, that's what I mean by this balancing act. You have subsidies to the farmers, what they call direct income support, which is not linked to production or exports, and that's of course alleviating the problem. But Latin America has in for quite a lot of agricultural products what they call a comparative advantage. I mean, that's a fact of life. And then you have to balance, I mean, in a way that it is not disruptive also in your own backyard. I mean, that's, I believe, a normal concern of the European Union, and that we have to try to strike a balance with respect to that. Now, I believe that over time the problem will become rather smaller than bigger, because the demand for agricultural products is dramatically going up. Prices also are going up. Market prices, world market prices are going up, because the diet of the Asians is changing, for example. So probably towards for the future there will be more room for all this than in the past, and that's also an important element when let's say trying to have a view on the chances that we have to reach an agreement.
Bien, quiero decirle que sí tenemos que llegar a una etapa de equilibrio. Sí, para los subsidios a los agricultores, como usted se refería, tenemos lo que se llama el apoyo de ingreso directo, que no está vinculado ni a la producción ni a la exportación. Esto es una forma de aliviar el problema. Bueno, América Latina tiene una ventaja comparativa y este es un hecho de la vida, es algo que es así. Tenemos entonces que encontrar un equilibrio. Creo, por otra parte, que este problema no se va a acrecentar, sino que se va a disminuir, porque la demanda va a ser mayor, por lo tanto los precios van a ser mayores. Tenemos que tener en cuenta que la dieta en Asia está cambiando, de modo que todo esto va a colaborar para que tengamos más posibilidades de lograr este acuerdo.
Two short questions,
very brief questions.
In the meeting
that you had with the authorities, did you talk about a bilateral position, or did you only talk about Mercosur and the European Union?
Which meeting?
In cuales reuniones?
With the Vice President Tassori, with all the authorities that you met with.
We have been focusing on the bi-regional, I wouldn't say problems, but the bi-regional relation and in fact the prospects for an agreement between the European Union and Mercosur, so we have not gone into the nitty-gritty of eventual bilateral discussions. Sometimes when a decision is taken, you should not devote too much time to that anymore. You should rather devote time to the future, because that's the real question.
Bueno, no nos hemos concentrado en las relaciones birregionales. Ese no fue el tema, no las o los problemas birregionales. El tema son las perspectivas para el acuerdo entre Mercosur y la Unión Europea. Cuando uno toma este tipo de decisiones, en realidad en lo que debe concentrarse es en el futuro. Creo que esa era su pregunta, ¿no?
Sí, lo mismo
tiene
de la agencia de
FP. Sí, son
ISTI. Quería preguntarte si los cambios gubernamentales.
Do any governmental changes have had any impact on the negotiations? Because of Dilma Rousseff?
la figura de Cristina Kirchner,
Cristina Kirchner who
is más débil que su predecesor,
perhaps weaker than her predecessor,
y quizás la poca fiabilidad de Paraguay en cuanto a que tiene una oposición fuerte,
lack of liability in Paraguay because opposition is very strong in Paraguay and they can block negotiations.
That's of course part of political life, that people come and people go. I mean, the president of Brazil is now Mrs. Rousseff, no? I mean, when we discussed in May in Madrid, Cristina Fernández de Kirchner was already president, and she's still president. So we are not negotiating with a specific government or a specific president. We are negotiating with countries, and in this case with a cluster of countries, a regional cooperation called Mercosur. And by the way, I don't see why it would have become more difficult now than it was before. I mean, if that were to be the case, it would rather have to see with the changing international situations, like, for example, the risk of overvaluation of currencies. I mean, that could impact that kind of discussion. Possibly could impact the negotiation, but not whether somebody is not any longer a president and somebody else has become a president. I mean, you should not reason in that kind of criteria. You should try to think out of the box, not inside the box.
Bien, bueno, eso forma parte de la vida política. La gente va y viene. En Brasil ahora la presidenta es Dilma Rousseff. Cuando discutimos en mayo en Madrid, la presidenta de Argentina era Cristina Kirchner y lo sigue siendo. De modo que nosotros estamos negociando con países, con un grupo de países que se llama Mercosur, no con un presidente en particular. No es más difícil ahora que lo que era antes. Tiene que ver, si es más difícil, esto tiene que ver con los cambios en la situación internacional. La sobrevaluación de la moneda o de las monedas, por ejemplo, pero no con el hecho de que alguien sea presidente o no lo sea. Ese no debe ser el criterio. Hay que pensar fuera del marco, no dentro.